Do you find yourself searching for true crime podcasts that are different from what you're always recommended? Do you want to make a real difference in the cases that you're following? Well, you're a crime junkie. And I'm Ashley Flowers, the creator and host of the number one true crime podcast, Crime Junkie. There are hundreds of episodes already available, and each Monday we dive into the details of cases spanning from some of the most infamous to those that you have never heard covered before. Listen to Crime Junkie podcast now, wherever you're listening.
For over 130 years, McCormick has helped you make mom's lasagna to keep her secret recipe alive. Take over taco night. No matter how chaotic your day is, conquer the bake sale, even if you get to it last minute. And craft the perfect Sunday brunch when it's not even Sunday. Because with McCormick by your side, it's gonna be great.
This on? Hello?
We're all science people.
Science. Exactly.
We know it's a good idea because it's lasted.
There's chemistry in here. There's biology in here.
It's in whiskey. It's in ice cream. It's in who you fall in love with.
Rules.
And ethics and everything else.
We can make the world better for everybody.
Starting now.
Welcome to Science Rules. I'm your host, Bill Nye, and this is the show where science rules. It's a call-in show, so if you want to be on the show, and I hope you do, please go to askbillnye.com and type on in. Tell us your question and evoke a fantastic conversation and change the world in some favorable and perhaps huge way. So if you remember anything, and I bet you do, I'll bet you there's a story associated with it. That's just the way humans are. We think in stories. And if many of you grew up watching the Science Guy show, thank you. I bet you also grew up watching Reading Rainbow with LeVar Burton. And check this out, peoples. Today, we have LeVar Burton joining us in the studio. Welcome, LeVar.
Bill Nye. Happy to be here.
You the man.
No, Bill, you the man.
So Reading Rainbow was a fabulous thing, changed the course of human history. Nicely done.
Thank you, sir.
You have a whole generation of people that listen to you read to them.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
But now you're off on a new project, which is kind of the same, but for grown-ups.
Yeah.
And it's just LeVar Burton reads.
It's just me reading.
Reading.
Yeah, reading a short story.
So how did you get from Roots to Reading Rainbow to Geordi LaForge?
To Star Trek.
Yeah.
It's a good story. That's a good story.
Well, is it too long to tell on my humble podcast here at Science Rules?
Bill Nye, I'm here to answer your questions, brother. Let me give you the Reader's Digest version. So Roots was, it was an eye-opening experience for me in so many ways.
I read the book. It took a while, but I read the book.
It's many pages and a great story.
It's this amazing story.
It's an amazing story. The miniseries aired in January of 77. The novel came out, I think immediately before the television release. Alex actually brought me a galley's copy of the novel when we were in Savannah on location about to film the scenes that took place in the hold of the slave ship. Yeah. And I read those two sections of the Middle Passage, Kunta's Middle Passage from Africa to Annapolis, Maryland, as a way of preparing my mind for that journey. Roots, seminal event in my life, blew my mind in many ways and respects. Reading Rainbow seemed like an opportunity to take what I learned about the power of the medium of television and really put it to use in a field where there wasn't a whole lot of attention being paid. It wasn't very sexy.
There were no podcasts back then.
No,
imagine bereft world.
And there were no shows, not even on PBS, that were about the love of reading, the love of the written word. It was all about the rudiments. Sesame Street and all of the PBS lineup was all about learning how to read. We represented that next step. Once you know how to read, what are you going to do with that power? How is it going to impact your life?
And then this just occurred to you?
No, it didn't occur to me. It occurred to the creators of the show.
Oh, okay.
And they came to me and said, we'd like you to host it. And I was like, yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I got what it could do.
And it did.
It over time.
So then how did Jordy come to be? So there are people that argue about this.
What?
And they're wrong. No. That Star Trek is the same as Star Wars.
It's not.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Well, who argues that? Come on.
Pundits?
No. No, we're talking...
Denizens of comic book stores?
Idiots. Idiots. Egypts. Really. They're two completely different points of view.
Star Wars is Game of Thrones without sex. And Star Trek is optimistic view of the future through science.
Succinctly put, sir.
Good. So somebody came to you and wanted you to be Geordi.
Well, I believe I'm a believer in the idea that everything happens for a reason.
As we say in Science Rules.
Science Rules.
Well, if everything happens for a reason, the reason is usually physics.
Okay.
But go ahead.
All right. Well, let me contemplate that for a second. I did a TV movie in the late, it must have been early 80s, like, I don't know, 80, 81. And it was forgettable in many respects, except for the producer was a man named Bob Justman. Now, my family and I watched Star Trek religiously during
really?
Its initial run. Yeah, absolutely. My mom, my sisters, and me, we loved Star Trek. So I knew Bob Justman was a producer, an associate producer on the original Star Trek, and I knew that he had worked very closely with Gene. So that little TV movie that was bad, it was bad. It was called Emergency. And I just loved pumping Bob for Star Trek stories every day, because I was such a fan. And so when he was working with Gene on rebooting Star Trek with the Next Generation, he remembered my passion for Star Trek, and I got a call from him one day.
That is cool. He just called you, or he called your agent?
He called me.
What did he call you? No, oh, okay. Sorry. It's not, come on.
And I was hella excited. The only question I had, he said, I know you've never done a television series, but we're doing a new Star Trek series. Would you be interested? I said, is Gene involved? He said, he is. I said, I'm in.
But you were into acting before that.
I was, yeah. I discovered theater arts in the Catholic seminary.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
You were in Catholic seminary.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I thought you said you were in Catholic seminary. And you were going to be a priest?
I was.
You, of all freaking people, due respect. I mean, we've hung out.
Bill, everybody comes from someplace, right?
All right. So why did you want to enter the priesthood?
That's a long story.
Well, but this is a full podcast.
Oh, all right.
Can you give me a couple sentences? You were charmed by a higher power.
I will do my best. I was raised by a woman who was whose God at the time was education.
That's good. I like her.
Yeah, I do too. That's my mother, Irma Jean Christian.
Yeah.
Every time I get a chance to mention my mother's name in public, I do.
Go again. Give it again.
Irma, E-R-M-A, Jean, G-E-N-E, the masculine spelling.
Yeah.
Christian was the name of her last husband. She was born Ward, married a man named Reynolds. My father's last name was Burton, and she finished out her marriage career with a Christian.
She was an athlete.
She was, and apparently liked to get married.
There are people out there.
She loved
you had tremendous respect. For, yeah, that happens.
Yeah.
So you had tremendous respect for her.
Oh, my God.
And
I am the way, I am the man I am because she was the woman she was.
That's priceless. So then you decided to go to Catholic school, or you were
saying, no, that was her decision.
She was
a teacher.
That's what I meant to say.
My mom was an educator from Kansas City, Missouri. She graduated from Philander Smith, an historically black college in Little Rock, Arkansas. It's where she met my father. She knew that the West, California, was a more liberal place to raise children than...
Than even Arkansas?
No, than Kansas City, Missouri.
Than even Kansas City?
Yeah, she grew up in Kansas City, and she
they've gone about as far as they can go.
Yeah, they've gone about as far as they can go. And she wanted to go further, so she headed west, right, to California, to raise her children in an environment that that was safer than the one in which she grew up.
So you ended up in Sacramento?
Sacramento.
Yeah.
ended up in the nation's in the state's capital.
Yeah. And so
in Catholic schools, so priests were the most positive male role models in my life, and it seemed like a good idea at the time.
How long were you in seminary?
4 years.
And that's where you found theater arts.
It is.
And so you're a storyteller.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, an actor is a storyteller.
I self-identify as a storyteller. Yeah.
You're promoting literacy.
Yeah.
And to me, that is part of being science literate.
I agree.
You can't be science literate
unless you're literate.
Unless
you're literate.
And so much of what you do in any job you take on involves reading and then writing. So, as you may know, this is a call-in show.
It is.
And so we have a caller on the line.
Really?
Yes, Karina. Karina, are you out there?
Hi.
And where are you calling from, Karina?
I'm from Massachusetts.
I'm crazy for Massachusetts. You've got Boston. You've got Red Sox. You've got seasons.
Yep.
So what's your question?
So my question is, I used to read a lot when I was younger, and I really enjoyed it. But once it became required in school, I didn't like the books that they picked. It felt like a chore, and I really didn't enjoy it. So now I'm trying to get back into enjoying reading, you know, just reading for fun. So I was wondering if there was like a reason why this happened, or if there were any tips for how to get back into reading and enjoying it.
Karina, that's a great question. I am happy to say, absolutely on the path to returning to loving reading. It happens to a lot of us when we go through school, and there's so much reading that's required of us, and it sort of bleeds the joy out of the activity. But you're doing the right thing. Find, you know, stuff that you love, that you're passionate about, and read about.
What did you used to like, Karina?
Well, when I was younger, I kind of read a lot of everything. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of, like, the series, like Harry Potter.
Sure.
Anne of Green Gables was one. And now I'm trying to do mysteries because I feel like that will, like, keep me interested in it.
Sure. Sure. Who are you reading?
Right now I'm on The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Very nice.
You're going to get back into reading?
Yeah.
Karina, what do you mean?
You
read on.
You've hit the jackpot, girl.
Are you out of school now?
Well, summer vacation from college, but.
All right.
All right. What year are you?
I just finished my first year.
Oh, so you're a rising sophomore.
What are you studying, Karina?
Not 100% sure yet, but thinking about math, maybe. And I'm trying computer science in the fall, so we'll see how that goes.
Oh, well, that's okay. Yeah, you're just phoning it in. That's great. No, that's fantastic, Karina. Math is the language of the universe, and computer science is the future. You know, the problems we need to solve for climate change have a great deal to do with computer science. We're going to have to do more with less using artificial intelligence systems. And as we like to say, good engineering invites right use. So when you design these software programs that we're all going to use and change the world, make them so they're easy to use. Karina, it's going to be a blast. Read Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Let me just tell you, okay. There's trouble later in the book. There's like, you know, life-threatening situations.
You're up for a wild ride.
I don't want to shock you. Yeah.
Stig Larsson does not disappoint.
Oh, it's going to be great. Thank you for your call, Karina. Carry on.
Thank you very much.
Matthew, are you out there? Matthew, can you hear us?
Yes, sir, I can. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah. Where are you calling from?
I'm coming from North Carolina.
Okay, where in North Carolina?
Cary, North Carolina, right outside of Raleigh.
Outside of Raleigh, RDU. So what's your question for LeVar?
So my question is, I've always had a great love of reading and stories. It was always how I learned, and it's how I just process information. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about how reading and stories kind of connect with memory and learning a little bit.
Mm. There's no connection at all. Am I right? No, it's the whole thing.
The older I get, the more I understand how fallible memory is. The thing about memory is it is absolute in the first person, which is to say, I am convinced in conversations with my wife that I remember events that she seems to remember completely differently. I recall them different. And guess what? I'm right. And she's wrong.
And you're still married.
Yeah. Right? That's how I know that memory is fallible. It is an inexact. It's not even science. It's just biology.
To something you touched on earlier, and what I think Matthew was asking about, you don't remember anything without, one does not remember anything without a story.
True. Well, there you go.
Right.
That's right.
Anything you really remember has a story to it.
Even,
I think about a map of the world, a map of whatever.
There's a story.
When you unfolded the map, you looked at a globe. Your teacher was asking you about something. There's a story associated.
And the story associated with going from one place to another, and all of the meaning of all of those points between the destination of beginning and end. We are constantly human beings, as I said, in storyteller mode.
Wow. Yes. Matthew, why did you ask that question?
I asked because it really annoys my friends, but every time I try to tell them about something I've learned, I have a story that's involved, or I can only tell it in the form of a story. And I was a classical studies major in undergrad, where I learned about Greece and Rome and their history and mythology. And I would just soak that in, and I could always just understand the history and the books that we were reading so much easier than I could my stats class.
Mm-hmm. Oh, easier than statistics? You got to be kidding me. Statistics is so... What the hell goes on in statistics? But I took statistics. Look, I'm still a little shaken up.
I didn't have the courage.
So, Matthew, let me ask you this. When you tell these stories to your friends, and it sounds like from your description there's a little bit of an eye roll on their part, have you tried telling a short story?
That would involve being concise, which isn't my
not your strong suit.
But I try.
I'm feeling that.
So, but really, why did you ask this question? Because of the way your friends react, or because of the way you feel?
Just because I've just always wondered why my brain kind of thinks of things in terms of stories, and why it's the stories that stick with me. And I'm just wondering, like, what in the brain like makes it that way. I don't know if there's a general reason, but that's always fascinated me.
Before we get LeVar on this, let me ask it the other way around. Do you remember anything without a story? I mean, is there anything you can think of that doesn't have a story associated? When I think about, like so many people, the atomic number of technetium, I just remember a story about it. Apparently it didn't exist and they created it in a laboratory. Then they went looking for it.
Really?
But without that story, I wouldn't remember atomic number 43.
Technetium.
Iridium, atomic number 77, is famous because it was found all over the world because it almost certainly came from an asteroid. All right. Who could forget those stories? Joseph Priestley and his oxygen, atomic number 8. Crying out loud. Come on, people. Zirconium and the nuclear navy. Come on. Number 40, it's fabulous. So, LeVar, do you have a comment about remembering things without stories?
Stories, I genuinely believe, provide the context for who we are, why we're here, where we're going, and probably most importantly, what will my contribution be to the evolution of humanity?
Right on! Matthew, what do you hope to accomplish with your storytelling ability?
I'm actually in divinity school right now at Duke University.
I'm just going to check out you and LeVar take a little divinity school meeting there. Why are you in divinity school?
I'm in divinity school because I want to join the army to be a chaplain because I think that's one way that God is calling me to help soldiers
that need it
because they don't always get the help.
That
they
is
need,
awesome.
Before, during, or after their service.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. I am an ex-seminarian, studied for the priesthood for 4 years. So I understand the calling. I get your mission. I feel you. You want to be effective in the world in a way that you uniquely can. Your stories will be most valued when you get to where you're going, sir. Keep practicing on your friends. Ask them to indulge you with their patience while you practice. But your storytelling will be the life's blood of those you serve when you get to the next stop.
So let me ask you this, Matthew. Are you required, or are you planning, or is part of your formal training psychology and psychiatry, or let's call it psychology?
It is not required. I hope to take further graduate school studies in psychology. I was a psych a minor in undergrad.
Oh, there
that
you
is go. Incredibly yeah. special. But I hope to take some sort of counseling courses, either through the Divinity School or through the larger Duke graduate school system.
Good thing. That's actually a very good plan. I would also recommend some mindfulness training, Matthew.
Mindfulness. Tell us about mindfulness, LeVar, Matthew and me.
It's just an ancient idea that being present in the moment.
I'm sorry, what'd you say? That's a joke. That's irony, people. Go ahead. It's not that funny, LeVar.
Well, it is to me.
Come on.
Because I'm that guy. I'm that corny. Mindfulness is an ancient idea, concept about being in the moment. Increases your, not just your awareness, but your enjoyment or your acceptance of the moment.
So, Matthew, I'm going to offer this piece of advice, which you can choose to tune out or not. Just when you're providing service, is that the expression to soldiers or, yeah. Let your passion come through. What really appeals to people about religion is the community, and this being with like-minded people who share the same values, and so to help people share the values, it's good to let your passion, what you really feel. And of course, it's hard when you're a chaplain. It's going to be hard because it's like when you're an actor, you got to let the other guy, you try to get a rise out of the other guy by getting a rise out of yourself.
That's
right. That accurate?
That is a very accurate statement.
Matthew, it's a great question, man. Thank you. Thank you so much. My grandfather taught organic chemistry at Duke. Coincidence? Actually,
oh,
yes.
Awesome.
Yes, it is a coincidence.
I love Duke, and thank y'all so much for having me on and letting me talk with y'all.
Oh, man. Thank you. Carry on.
Devils.
Stick around for more Science Rules after this.
Do you find yourself searching for true crime podcasts that are different from what you're always recommended? Do you want to make a real difference in the cases that you're following? Well, you're a crime junkie, and I'm Ashley Flowers, the creator and host of the number one true crime podcast, Crime Junkie. There are hundreds of episodes already available, and each Monday we dive into the details of cases spanning from some of the most infamous to those that you have never heard covered before. Listen to Crime Junkie podcast now, wherever you're listening.
Want to connect with a family member who doesn't speak your language? Then check out the language learning program Rosetta Stone on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone is designed to immerse you in the language you're learning through an intuitive process. Plus, the True Accent feature even gives you feedback on your pronunciation. And with a lifetime membership, you have access to all 25 offered languages. Get started today. Visit rosettastone.com/pod50 to get 50% off your lifetime membership now. That's rosettastone.com/pod50 for 50% off.
You're listening to Science Rules.
We have another caller. Giuseppe, are you out there?
Yeah, hello.
Hi, Giuseppe. Where are you calling from?
I'm from Mexico.
Oh, that's great. Where in Mexico?
Villahermosa, Tabasco. Tabasco, like the south, the spices one, Tabasco.
So what's your question for LeVar?
Yes. My question is, what are your thoughts on audiobooks? Is it like chilling? I'm aware that it's one of the most comfortable options for the blind, but why would anyone else still use it?
Listen to audiobooks?
Audiobooks.
You're talking to the man!
For me.
Giuseppe, you're talking to the audiobook man!
Audiobooks are reading, Giuseppe, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes.
Here's the thing. Here's the magic about the activity of reading. It's words that interact with your imagination, causing you to create pictures in your mind, right? When you read, you're making a movie because you're and you're.
Oh, that's a great expression.
You're casting. You're the director. You're the production designer. You design the
art
costumes.
Department.
You're everything. You make a movie in your head, right? Now, whether you're reading those words from a printed page or a digital screen, or if you're listening to an audio recording of a story, the process is the same. You connect in your imagination to those words, that imagery, which causes you to create pictures, make a movie. So I don't care if you're listening to it, if you're reading it in a bound book, or you're reading it on a digital device. Our connection, we are a species of storytellers. We storytell with every part of ourselves, 24/7, 365, right? And because we are storytellers, it is our imaginations that are so integral to our role as storytellers. It's who we are. It's our storytelling is intricately and inextricably connected to our humanity, Giuseppe.
So, in other words, Giuseppe, listening to books is every bit as good as reading them.
Amen.
Reading them with your eyes, rather. And your belief or claim, LeVar, is it is reading.
That is my belief, and it is my claim. And you're welcome to fight
all about
me.
Claims.
You're welcome to fight me.
No, I'm good. I'm
right,
good.
Right. But I didn't mean you necessarily. Yeah, yeah. I meant your audience.
But it is. But just like reading with your eyes, to get the most or to get the whole story, you have to be engaged.
Yeah.
And this is, I noticed that in your question that you typed in, there's a thing about if you're driving and something's going on in front of you, you may tune out of the story for a few minutes. And I encourage everybody to hit that rewind button.
Yeah.
Yeah. In my car, you connect your phone to the dashboard, you know,
right.
All the kids are doing it.
Sure.
And so I hit the double back arrow all the time. Giuseppe, that's a great question. Audiobooks are not cheating. Listen on. Thanks for your call.
Okay. Thank you.
We have another call out there. Summit. Did I pronounce it properly? Summit? Are you out there?
That was perfect. Yeah, most people don't get it right the first time.
Well, even a blind squirrel finds an acorn now and then. So where are you calling from?
I am also a college student calling from Massachusetts.
All right. What's your question?
So my question is there a relationship between imagination and affinity for reading?
Oh, no, nothing to do with each other.
Of course not.
There must be. Doesn't one thing lead to another, LeVar?
They are part and parcel, part of the same superpower that human beings have to imagine. It's our superpower, really, to be able to project ourselves into a moment apart from this now moment in the present, in the past, or in the future. No other species can do that, right?
Not as far as we know.
Not as far as we know.
I mean, you're very seldom encounter a dolphin that seems to be paralyzed by self-doubt.
Right.
It's just not, it's very seldom. Maybe a dog that's thinking about something besides food. I mean, now and then.
Yeah.
But humans are just imagining all these things. So why did you ask this question, Samet?
I think just out of my own curiosity, I like to think that I'm somewhat imaginative and I like to read, so I was wondering if there might be a correlation there.
What do you do with your imagination? Do you create your own stories?
Sometimes when I read or write or interpret different things, I study art sometimes, so that imagination definitely has to come into play there.
Well, in your business,
yeah,
the story is about one thing.
Sure.
That is to say, it's starting one place, and it's every word in the story is to carry you to this other place.
Beginning, middle, and end.
I've never heard that before. So, Sama, this is a great question. I'll bet you it turns out one thing leads to another. That is to say, the more you read, the richer your imagination, the more you're inclined to read stories.
Good to know.
Sama, thank you for your call. Carry on.
Thank you so much.
Ashwin, Ashwin, you're out there.
Hey. Yeah.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Dubai, UAE, actually.
Oh, Dubai.
It's
wow.
1 o'clock in the night now. So, like, a lot of people are sleeping at the home. I'm just, like, whispering.
Okay. Thank you for calling. What's your question?
So, my question was, how many books on average do you think would take for a person to sort of change their perspective and start seeing the world in a different way?
One book. I think that's got to be
right book.
If it's the right book, that's got to be
one.
Now, Ashwin, why do you ask this question? Is there a book in your life, my friend?
So this question came to my mind because actually there was a follow-up question that I wanted to ask. So
well, follow it up. I mean, follow it up. What's your follow-up question?
In some sense. I was sort of wondering if there was a specific style of writing or reading that could be used to sort of enhance our understanding and see the world in a different way, perhaps.
So are you talking about a religious book?
Oh, not necessarily, actually.
Or are you talking about an important book, like Undeniable by Bill Nye, New York Times bestseller, 20 in a cart and they make great gifts? No, go. Why do you ask this question?
Because sometimes it takes me more than one book of a general theme to get inclined and sort of start seeing the world through its ideas. And sometimes it just takes like a few pages to just start seeing the world completely differently.
Can you give us a couple examples?
So there was this one book that I stumbled upon this summer. That's Sapiens by Harari.
Ah, yes.
And that was sort of just talking about how the mankind as a race has evolved right from our very beginnings to all the way up to where we are right now. And it took me only a few pages to sort of start predicting where we would as a race end up. And other books haven't exactly been able to do that to me. So I was wondering if there was something with that book in particular, or it was just like some sort of other means of understanding that I stumbled upon with that particular book.
Ashwin, all books are not made equal. All books are not equal. Your ability to engage with that book on the level that you did has everything to do with the way that the author was communicating his or her subject matter. You connected with it at a basic and elemental level to the point where you were able to take what they were saying and extrapolate forward and make best guesses about where humanity was headed. All books are not going to impact you the same way, my friend. Every book is going to impact you in a different way, at a different level. In fact, I don't know if you've had the experience of having a book that you read over time, right? Many times over time. The book delivers,
for pleasure.
Delivers a different message every time you pick it up and read it.
Yeah. What's your day job, Ashwin?
I'm actually a student right now.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I'm a college student in India. So I'm here for my summer.
What are you studying?
I'm actually studying computer science. I'm a junior.
You're our people. But not only do you study computer science, which should be a technical thing, you have an interest in storytelling, I take it.
Oh, I do. So I sort of wanted to explore, share this idea with like other people, like people who are unprivileged in some sense.
Mm.
And so I tried going around to village schools and setting up libraries along with my friends.
Oh, my goodness,
get them
really?
Into reading as well.
So what are you, 20 years old, 19 years old?
Going to be 20, yes.
Yeah, that's great. So you're setting up libraries in, I guess, rural villages in India?
Exactly.
How have these efforts been received? Are people enjoying the libraries, the books that you bring?
Oh, they are. So what we kind of do is we go to these libraries and we spend an entire day with them. And we set these libraries up and interact with the students and sort of get them engaged on various activities. What we are planning to do now is sort of get more personal with them. And so we are sort of trying to go to them every week or every weekend, whenever we can, actually, from academics, and sort of have sessions that would get them interested into reading and then learning. Like, for example, read alouds and enactments of this, because I felt like that helped me a lot when I was getting into reading in the first place.
So who's we when you go to these places, more than just you?
So it's a bunch of 5 to 6 people, plus anyone who's willing to volunteer. Mm-hmm. We are basically, so we registered as a nonprofit, and one of our initiatives is Padho India, which basically translates to Read India. And we go as a group of maybe 5 or 6 people, and we just sort of have
God,
one weekend
fantastic.
Of fun.
I'm not joking you. A couple things. Do you have a website?
Oh, yes, we do. It's called Let's Padho India. We're also on Instagram.
How do I spell it? Let's L-E-T-S?
P-A-D-H-O. Padho. India.
P-A-D-H-O.
Yeah.
Let's and Padho India.
That's fantastic. Well, keep up the good work.
Please keep up the good work.
And so what I'm...
Oh, thanks a lot.
What may happen, and I'm not promising. Am I promising this?
Go ahead and make the promise, Bill.
Well, just that
go out on a limb.
People will check out your website and donate books.
Oh, wow. That's
right.
Promise.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that's very cool.
Publishers in the U.S. Will find a way to do. How old are the people that you, the kids or the people you engage with when you go to their village, these villages?
It's usually primary schools. Children from 5 to 12.
Children's books.
These are our people.
Yeah.
That's fantastic, Ashwin. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
The longest journey begins with but a single step. Just that you told us that this thing exists will lead somewhere. Keep up the good work. Let's change the world.
Oh, thanks, Adan.
Thank you, Ashwin. Wow. Check him out.
See, here's what I love about your fans and your listeners. They're nerds.
These are my people.
They're geeks. They're my people too, right? And they're addicted to story, right?
Everybody is.
Yeah.
You know, technetium and everything.
Iridium.
And seaborgium.
Which element is seaborgium?
All right, don't toy with me. Right, you know it's 106. Stop messing with me.
Science Rules will be right back.
Do you find yourself searching for true crime podcasts that are different from what you're always recommended? Do you want to make a real difference in the cases that you're following? Well, you're a crime junkie, and I'm Ashley Flowers, the creator and host of the number one true crime podcast, Crime Junkie. There are hundreds of episodes already available, and each Monday we dive into the details of cases spanning from some of the most infamous to those that you have never heard covered before. Listen to Crime Junkie podcast now, wherever you're listening.
Science Rules is back.
Now, wait. It's time for the lightning round. That's where static discharge from the cloud to the ground, or sometimes the ground to the cloud, it's called superheating the atmosphere, which produces a shockwave and thunderclap. So it's time for the lightning round, LeVar.
I'm ready, I think.
What is your favorite book?
The book that I happen to be reading at any given time.
That's it. Whatever book you're reading, that's it.
That's my favorite book.
What's the biggest crowd you've ever read to?
Wow. I don't know.
10 people?
No. More.
Like 60,000 on a podcast? Maybe a million?
Yeah, something like that.
What's the smallest crowd? What's the most intimate crowd?
Me, by myself, in my head.
What about to children?
I love reading one-on-one. I love reading to small groups. I love reading to kids. I just love reading aloud. I really do. It's the most fun. For me, it's the most fun.
Wow. What is the deal about taking a deep breath before you read your stories?
My wife hates that moment.
She does. She can fast forward through it.
She can.
Why does she hate it?
I don't. Because she thinks I'm trying to browbeat people into breathing. She thinks I'm a breathing Nazi.
So everybody listening, you know all those jackbooted breathing soldiers that pound on your door demanding that you breathe. What? Can I have a straight answer?
That's the truth.
Your wife hates it. Why do you do it?
I do it for a couple of reasons. Number one, for me, a breath is, it's a threshold between that which came before and then that which comes after the breath, which is story. So it's a preparation. It's preparing ourselves to go into story mode. But even more importantly than that,
to get away from LeVar Burton, the narrator,
right?
That moment
was the introduction. We breathe. This moment, everything that comes after the breath is story, right? And for me, the word inspiration, from the Latin inspire, to breathe in.
Is the breath.
It is the breath that connects us to source.
Spirit is breath.
That's
big. Aspirate is to breathe. Respirate is all this breath stuff.
I love sitting with Bill Nye, the Science Guy.
LeVar, this has just been a fantastic time. I really appreciate you coming on in and sharing your passion for reading the written word aloud so that people in the world will share these stories.
We can change the world with story.
Bill with Nye. Literacy.
With literacy. We really can.
Thank you, man. Carry on.
I'm a big, big fan, and I certainly appreciate, you know, your work in the world. We are kindred spirits.
We are kindred spirits.
Bill Nye,
I'll give you that, LeVar Burton.
We are kindred spirits.
So check out his podcast, LeVar Burton Reads. Download them all and turn it up loud. Thank you very much, LeVar. Thanks a lot. Now, you've been listening to Science Rules. I'm Bill Nye, and remember, when it comes to the reading part of our universe, science rules. If you like Science Rules, and of course I hope you do, please take a moment to rate and review it in Apple Podcasts and on Stitcher. It helps us out. It helps us figure out who's listening, what you like to listen to. It helps other people learn about the show so that they too can hear it and turn it up loud. So thank you. Science Rules is produced by Jordan Bell. Our engineer today is Brendan Burns. Mixing and original theme music are by Casey Halford. Special thanks, of course, to Claire Rawlinson. And Chris Bannon is the CCO, the Chief Content Officer of Stitcher. At Stitcher, science rules.
Yeah, but
did you get my text message?
Nothing yet. I got nothing. Oh, but I'm on Wi-Fi.
Or are you in airplane mode? That's what I put it in airplane mode to.
No, I'm on Wi-Fi
record.
at Earwolf.
Stitcher.
Do you find yourself searching for true crime podcasts that are different from what you're always recommended? Do you want to make a real difference in the cases that you're following? Well, you're a crime junkie, and I'm Ashley Flowers, the creator and host of the number one true crime podcast, Crime Junkie. There are hundreds of episodes already available, and each Monday we dive into the details of cases spanning from some of the most infamous to those that you have never heard covered before. Listen to Crime Junkie podcast now, wherever you're listening.